Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Greetings. Welcome to Lehem Panim. Last week, in our study of 1 John, we talked about what John means by his saying that we're living in the last hour, and what the nature is of the Antichrist who is to come, and the many Antichrists whom he says are already in the world. These Antichrists are false teachers who lead people astray by teaching false doctrine. And so we talked about the importance of knowing the Word of God so that we might recognize when somebody, however well-intentioned, might be twisting it. And so we come to verses 19 to 27, which we'll look at in a moment. But first, I want to say that for anybody who has ever studied all the various heresies of the church, you know how complicated and confusing many of them can be. And then you have the religious cults like Jehovah's Witness and Mormonism, which are mind-boggling in their complexity and how they subtly take giant leaps away from Scripture. Even my uncle, who taught systematic theology for about 2 decades, he said on his radio show that sometimes he has to go back and look at these cults once in a while just to remind himself of particular details because of just how complicated some of them can be. But how do you and I best protect ourselves against falling into any of these heresies, these false ways of seeing God? Some people say that because bad theology can lead you astray, it's better not to deal with that theology stuff at all. But as a wise person once said, the answer to bad theology isn't no theology, but good theology. It's only good theology, learning how to think rightly about God in and through being informed by His Word, that is what can keep bad theology at bay. But you know, I think one of the great victories of Satan in our churches in America today is the loss of the spiritual education of our members, where we're being taught sound doctrine and how to get into and study the Word of God for ourselves, rather than just being solely dependent on a pastor to deliver the Word of God to us. You know, I think the church in America is becoming, if we aren't already, largely biblically illiterate. I remember a conversation with a young Christian man that had grown up in church. And I began talking with him about the book of Ruth, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I was blown away when he said, you know, I'm sorry, I don't even know who Ruth is. And I want to say that that is why we're seeing more and more sin and heresy entering into the church. The church is forgetting more and more of God's Word because it's not being taught to our people. And because of that, we're beginning to see more and more heresies creep into the church and antichrists gaining more and more ground. And what's interesting to me is when we look at 2 Thessalonians 2:3, we see that the Antichrist is actually given a different name. He's called the man of lawlessness. In other words, he's a man who has disregarded the law of God, His Word. And therefore, you know, the more we know God's Word, the more easily we're going to be able to spot him and the other false teachers and protect our churches from falling into sin. Now, as we've said before, in addition to the Antichrist, John also mentions the many Antichrists who have already come, and these are false teachers who are leading God's people astray. And John gives us some of their characteristics by which we can recognize them. He says, first, they leave the church. He says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. And as we talked about recently, you know, light cannot abide with darkness. They're mutually exclusive. One must expel the other. And in this case, we see that these false teachers, they leave the church. In John's day, they left the church because they had nothing in common with believers. But John says in verses 20 to 21, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So secondly, we see that these false teachers deny the incarnation, that God became flesh, and that Jesus is the divine Christ. And in that, they're revealed to be liars, to be deceivers. And John says in verses 22 to 23, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." Now, the Antichrists that John is referring to here in his letter, they were the early Gnostics. And the fundamental teaching of Gnosticism is that our bodies of flesh and all that is physical is evil. It's sinful. Only that which is entirely spiritual is good. And that's why they argue that God is completely good, for the very reason that he is entirely spirit. Now, we know this teaching of all flesh being sinful and all that is spiritual being good. We know that's false because God created a physical world and he called it good. And also because Jesus himself had a physical body, but that didn't make him sinful. And also, what about demons? They're completely spirit. And yet, could you possibly consider them good? Obviously not. Now, God is good, but he is good for more than the fact that he's just a spirit. He's good because goodness is his nature. But because of this whole flesh versus spirit dualism that the Gnostics believed in, they believed that salvation is not a transformation or a regeneration of the spirit, but it's an escape of our spirits, which are good, they say, from our bodies, which, because they are physical, are said to be evil. And so salvation is the escape from the body, which is achieved not by faith in Christ, but by special knowledge. That's what these heretics said. Even the word gnosis means knowledge, hence Gnosticism. And one branch of this heresy, the Epicureans, they taught that since matter, not the breaking of God's law, was considered evil, breaking his law was of no moral consequence. What's done in the flesh doesn't really matter because the spirit's going to leave the flesh anyway. And that's a teaching that obviously goes against the clear teaching of Scripture. Now, we believe that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. However, the Gnostics, because of their belief that flesh was evil and spirit good, they found it necessary to deny Jesus' humanity, everything we celebrate during Christmas. And they did this in either one of two ways. First, some said that Christ only seemed to have a body, which is a view called Docetism. And others said that the divine Christ joined the man Jesus at baptism and left him before he died, which is a view called Cerinthianism, after its most prominent spokesman, Cerinthus. And so this view of Gnosticism, it's the background of much of 1 John. And so we can see why John wants to make sure that they hold fast to the foundational doctrine that Jesus was both fully God and fully man, that he became incarnate, and that he died and rose again. This is why John says in verses 24 to 25, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life." Now, we may talk about Gnosticism more as we move through this epistle, but for now, we just need to understand that this heresy was in the background of much of the early church, and particularly this epistle of 1 John. And this will kind of help to shed light on how we interpret certain verses. For example, look at the next one, which can be really confusing if we don't understand the context. John says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it is taught you, abide in him." Now, this verse says that we don't need teachers or pastors or any form of education, apparently, because it says, we don't need anybody to teach us. But is that what John is really saying? Well, being a pastor and a teacher himself, he obviously was not saying that. And since the Bible constantly advocates teaching, John cannot be putting down teaching. We have to understand that at the time that John was writing, Gnostic teachers were insisting that the teaching of the apostles had to be supplemented with the higher knowledge that they, the Gnostics, claimed to possess. And so John's response was that what the readers were taught under the Spirit's ministry through the apostles not only was adequate, but it was the only reliable truth. And the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is what is commonly called illumination, it doesn't involve revelation of new truth or the explanation of all difficult passages of Scripture to our satisfaction. Rather, it's the development of the capacity to appreciate and appropriate God's truth that's already been revealed, making the Bible meaningful in thought and daily living. And so the Holy Spirit helps you to understand what has already been revealed. And if you ever meet somebody who says that they have had a revelation of some new truth, you better watch out for them because they're lying to you or are deceived themselves. So what does this all mean for you and for me? Well, it means we have to value truth. We have to know truth. We have to walk in truth. Well, how do we do that? By getting our theology right? Well, I think that's part of it. Knowing the Word of God, which means spending time in the Word of God, prayerfully seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance to help us to understand it. But I also want to remind you that truth is not an abstract reality. Truth is a person. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, as John writes in his Gospel in chapter 14, verse 6. And so if you want a life that makes sense, a life that is solid, it has to begin with a relationship with Jesus and culminate in a constant communion with Him in which He's teaching and growing you into a Christ-filled and therefore also a truth-filled person. And that's why I want to encourage you today to start an ongoing conversation with Him today. Draw near to the One who is the truth this week. And let Him draw near to you. Don't be content to know about Jesus, because transformation doesn't happen there at that level. No, you have to be in communion with Him day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And when we do that, we will find that Jesus provides a solid foundation for our lives. And we will know truth. We will be able to discern truth from what is false. And we will be protected from those who would seek to lead us astray. Draw near to Him today. Enter into communion with Him, fellowship with Him, know His Word, and let His Spirit move in your heart and show you how to apply His Word to your life. Let's do this. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.